in place and wound up the spring and just lets it go. You are a loving and caring Father who cared enough about His creation to send His own Son. Jesus, we thank You and praise You for Your life here on earth, Your life in our shoes. You understand us because You were one of us and are. Jesus, thank You for living and being born in a manger, dying on a cross. Lord, we praise You for Your resurrection. Holy Spirit, as the word is preached, fill our hearts and minds with the words that You penned so long ago. Touch us, change us, mold us. Lord, pierce through our hardened hearts and our dim minds. Lord, turn the lights on. Let us see the truth of the God who saves, who was born as a baby. Holy Spirit, bless this time. Bless the preaching. And bless us that we may be renewed as we leave this place, being touched by the word. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.
You guys don't expect me to sing because I'm not singing. Great, great rendition. I want us to go to the book of Revelation. It should be the easy book to find. It's the last book in the Bible. So what I want to do, I want to give you the other dimensional aspect of what was sung about today. I want to show you what happened behind the scenes as Messiah was coming into the world. Now, three things you need to know about the book of Revelation. And we should be getting there. It's the last book of the Bible, as we know. Easy to find. Remember one thing. Revelation, first and foremost, is a letter. It's a letter. The whole book of Revelation is a circular letter. And it's a circular letter to the seven churches. But seven meaning the complete number, meaning it is for us today. So numbers have a meaning in the book of Revelation. So first off, Revelation is a what? It's a letter. It's a circular letter. It's also prophecy. It's also prophetic because it points to the second coming of Christ. But it's also apocalyptic. Apocalyptic is a type of writing where it's a picture book. Let me give you an example. If Sue gets a letter from Harlan, Harlan tells Sue, "Dear Sue, how much I love you and miss you." But if Sue gets a letter from the IRS, it's not like that. So remember, Revelation is apocalyptic. It's a picture book. It's a book that's used signs and symbols. It's not a literal rendition. It is a letter, it is a prophecy, and it is apocalyptic. It is a picture book. John uses signs and symbols to convey his message. And to understand this book, we must have a vast knowledge of the Old Testament, because there's a lot of Old Testament allusions in the book of Revelation. No full quotes, but you have to have a deep understanding of the Old Testament. Got it, Judy? Checked it off? So it's a letter, it's a prophecy, and it's apocalyptic. Go to the 12th chapter of Revelation. Before I get into the reading of the text, at the end of chapter 11, the seventh trumpet was blown and time came to an end. With the seventh trumpet came judgment day. But remember, the book of Revelation is a circular letter. You got the seals, you got the trumpets, and you got the bowls. So in between these judgments, we have these intervals, so to speak. So now in Revelation 12, we're going to get an interval between the trumpets and the bowls. So we return to the story of the Nativity, the entrance of Christ into this world. But instead of the historical details that Joyce and the Cantata just gives you, John is going to give you now a spiritual background of what happens when Messiah came onto the earth. He tells us what went on behind the scenes in the heavens when Christ entered the world by way of divine birth. Now, Revelation 12. Now notice in the first two verses, I'm going to read the first six and I'm going to read one other verse. A great sign. Now remember, it's a sign. Appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet and her head in a crown of 12 stars. This represents the Old Testament saints. This is the prophecy of Joseph when Joseph turns around and says this to his brothers. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain, to give birth. So here we know, who does that point to? The New Testament people of God, the Christ child, who the cantata just spoke about. So we have the Old Testament and New Testament people of God right here. And the sign is given through the woman. And we'll get into that in a second. Another sign appeared in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and his heads were 7 diadems. Again, it's another sign. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And here we have deception. Now watch this. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so when she gave birth, that he might devour the child. Now who does that mean? Who does that point to? Herod. Remember Herod tried to destroy the Christ child? Here we have a picture of that. This is a picture of that. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Here we have a picture of Christ's birth and resurrection. And then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so there she would be nourished for 1,260 days. The woman is a picture of the church who goes and into the wilderness, and she's protected and nourished by God. But watch this, one more verse, verse 17. So the dragon was enraged with the woman. He was enraged with the church and went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Now, the wording here helps us understand the context of these verses. The woman and the dragon are what? They're signs. They're signs or symbols. In both verses, they are depicted to be signs. They're depicted to be symbols. They're not literal, but John is painting a picture of these two entities. And sandwiched between them is the birth of a child, which comes with great labor and pain. The woman is clothed with the sun and the moon and represents the Old Testament saints. Remember Joseph's dreaming and bowing down to his family as God kept alive Jacob and his offspring through famine in Canaan. Interestingly, the woman still exists after the ascension of Christ in verse 6, showing she lives for a period of time protected in the wilderness, waiting for the return of the one who will rule all nations. Where does that come from? From the second psalm. From the second psalm. Again, we have to understand our Old Testament when we look at this. The woman is a symbol of the New Testament and Old Testament church, and Christ has decided to build his church on enemy soil. Look at verse 17. The dragon could not destroy the entity. He can't destroy the church, but he's able to war individually with the saints. And he's given permission to do this. So the red dragon comes into view now, depicting what happened behind the scenes of Matthew. What does it say? You don't have to go there. What does it say in Matthew 16? Then when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its vicinity from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the angel. Here we see Herod trying to destroy the child. But it's so much more than that. It's so much more than that. He's also the other dimensional character of Cain, trying to destroy the seed of the Messiah, starting with who? Starting with Abel. And then he's trying to disqualify Jacob in pitting Esau against him until God would intervene. He's the other and other dimensional aspect of Pharaoh trying to destroy the Hebrew children. He's the Haman in the book of Esther trying to induce genocide so the lineage cannot come forth until God protected the lineage. He's also Queen Athaliah in trying to destroy the holy seed, but God had Joash there to keep the seed going because he is in control of this universe. He is a God that's protecting his people despite the opposition that comes against us. The dragon is seen to have seven heads and seven crowns and seven horns, which depicts this oppressive power against the people of God, past, present, and now. The dragon has supernatural power as its tail sweeps down a third of the stars, which depicts that the demons are subordinate to the dragon. But if you are a Christian today, if you are trusting in Christ today, none of this can harm you. But you see, there's a real spiritual world that we live in, and how the cantata sung so profoundly about the birth of Christ. I'm giving you a background. There is a war in the background. There is a war that breaks out in heaven when Christ came and continues to try to take the people of God away. And this is what I want to say. There is true opposition when you're a believer in Christ. And this is what this shows you. So the Christmas message that we bring is about the protection that God brings to his people. The dragon would be enraged as the angel of the Lord in Luke, as the cantata just said, he gave the good news to the shepherds about sinners that we can be saved by grace. The one who was born that will rule all nations with a kingdom that will have no end. Psalm 2. In these two sweeping verses in 5 and 6, we see Christ's birth, death, and resurrection, and his enthronement. And more than that, we see his nourishment of the church. The word depicts to bring it to fruition. When the church flees into the wilderness and he's nourished, the church is nourished, and he will be brought to fruition. But I am telling you, if you are a Christian today, if you are trusting in Christ today, you will be under persecution. You will be under persecution. Because the Bible says that the dragon wants to make war with the saints. He does not defeat the kingdom of the dragon. Now, let me tell you what Christ does. Christ does not defeat the kingdom of the dragon with oppressive power or cunning devices. You know how he defeats it? You know how he defeats it? By going to the cross and taking the wrath of sin that we so much deserve. That's how he defeats the kingdom. Because he who became sin knew no sin and became the righteousness of God in Christ. He defeats the kingdom by going to the cross. And if you are a believer today, if you are a believer today, there is victory in no other name but Christ. You see, the incarnation of Christ is the segue to Calvary. We see it in these first six verses, past, present, and future, of God's redemptive plan in Christ. This is the reason that we celebrate Christmas, but there's more. There's more. Just let me read these, finish up these verses and expound on them. Because what happened was, when Christ came, there was war in heaven. We see the wonderful birth. We just sung about it for 30 minutes. And we see this wonderful birth and the shepherds praising God. But when this happened, there was war in heaven. Listen to this, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war. And they were not strong enough. And they were no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. They did not love their life even when faced with death. For this reason, rejoice, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having a great wrath, knowing that he only has a short time. So here's this great conspiracy in the spiritual realm. The dragon trying to destroy what we celebrate today, the birth of our Savior. He's the real Ebenezer Scrooge, if you will. The devil himself, as one artist said, pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my name. This was all happening as the shepherds were praising God for the good news of the gospel in Luke. But as also mentioned, Herod killing young children as war broke out in heaven in the cosmic realm. The dragon makes war on the saints because he's a defeated foe. The Bible says his time is short. But do we realize the seriousness of this picture, the eternal ramifications it has on the world? No one loves Christmas more than me. We love to celebrate the birth of our Savior. We love to celebrate with festivities of eating and opening presents. But I'm telling you, we are in a war. If we're a Christian today, the world is against us. And here's a picture of the empowerment that God allows Satan to come against the people of God. But in the end, I'm telling you, we will win out. Not because of anything we did, but because what was done for us on that cross, Gabe. We will be victor. There is victory in Jesus. But this picture here, this shows you the cosmic realm of what happens behind the scenes when somebody is to become a Christian. When the word of God is being preached, you are going to be under divine opposition. This is the behind the scenes of what Joyce and Pastor Greg and the cantata sung about. It's a glorious time, the birth of Christ. It's a great celebration that we can eat our foods and be with our family. But I'm telling you, there is a cosmic war going on. And we as Christians must turn around and preach Christ and Him crucified. Because as we can see, this picture that John is depicting here in the book of Revelation is that there's a real war going on. It's a collision course of two kingdoms, the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of Christ, for which the kingdom of Christ will have no end. And please notice, the dragon does not fight against God. Nobody can fight against God. He fights against Michael the archangel, who represents God. No one. I ask a question all the time, who is the opposite of God? No one. No one is the opposite of God. Nobody. And this is my encouragement to you in this Christmas season, that there is no one, that God is sovereign. He is the providential ruler of this universe. And if you are a child of God, you are a child of a king, and nothing can harm you. And what I'm saying is, I'm telling you, please, if in the morning or the night when you go read your Bible, you try to pray, you can see so much opposition coming against you. Your kids or your husband's bothering you, or the milkman is coming to the door. There is a cosmic war when you go out and preach the gospel, when you go out and read about the Lord. And this shows you the other dimension of what Pastor Greg and what Joyce were trying to bring, the birth child. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. But behind the scenes, there was this cosmic war, and that war continues today. And what I want to do as a as a bolstering point, is give you the encouragement that if you're a Christian today, you will eternally be with Christ. But if you are not a Christian today, there's hell to pay. There's hell to pay. And I know that these are, you know, we have great messages that we can bring for Christmas, but this is something, because we don't fight against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers in the spiritual realm. But this shows our eternal victory right here is in Christ. That's my Christmas present to you. No, I know I don't understand all the Pokemon stuff and things like that, and I know those things are, man, I wish I knew how to do that. But my Christmas present to you is that you have a Savior. And if you trust in this Savior, not just by saying a prayer, but in every aspect of your being, that if you trust in this Christ, He will deliver you from sin and death and the wrath that is coming upon the unbelievers in this earth. That's my Christmas present to you. We have a God who's real. We have a God that will save you from the uttermost. We have a God in Christ that gave His only begotten Son for you, Rachel, for you, Pastor Greg, for you, my brother. You too, Mary. Mary's got that nice red sweater on. I know I get passionate and emotional about this, but remember this, the deceiver of the whole world, man, if you don't hear one thing, the deceiver of the whole world can no longer morally or judicially accuse you ever again, ever again. Jess, do you understand that this red dragon of Christmas can never accuse you ever again? Because you're in Christ forever. And that's the reason to celebrate, Barbara. That's the reason to celebrate. That doesn't mean, Joyce, you can't buy me a gift. I'm only kidding. But the reason to celebrate is because we've been saved and sanctified in Christ. 2 minutes, I'm out of here. The Bible says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Whatever you might be going through, the Bible says no one can lay a charge to God's elect. No one can lay a charge if you are one of God's people. That's the reason to celebrate. That's the reason to celebrate. Yes, Mom, you're still going to make that macaroni, but still, there is a reason to celebrate Christmas in your sickness, in your spiritual battles. Just know the devil has been thrown down. He's defeated, and yes, his time is short, verse 12. This was John's message to his people and my message to you. This is the cosmic reality of Christmas. I give you the other dimensional aspect of Christmas. And then the text says the people of God overcame him by the death of Christ and their testimony. The word Nikeo means overcome. That, you know, the sneakers, who has Nike sneakers? They robbed it from the Bible. They robbed it from the Bible. That's the word Nikeo, to overcome. Because you overcome not by anything you do. You overcome by the what? By the death of Christ, by the blood of the Lamb. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are an overcomer. Not on a Monday and then not on a Tuesday. If you are in Christ Jesus, and Pastor Greg will tell you, it's forever. And amen. That was one of the songs, right? Forever. That's my Christmas present to you. My Christmas present to you is that you have a Savior who loves you from the uttermost. And if there's people in here that are not trusting in this Christ, not just because it's a thing to do during Christmas time, I want to tell you, if you trust in Christ, you've been legally acquitted. And there's nothing that you have done but what He has done for you, because you have overcome by the death of the Lamb. So here is our Christmas display. A big red Christmas dragon dressed up in red lights with horns and crowns and heads glaring brightly, and this huge 7-foot angel with these bright lights stepping on the neck of the dragon as we continue to worship of God on the throne. The cantata tonight gave us Christmas and its true meaning in song with wonderful renditions of Christ's birth. I give you the same message by way of pictures, which some say tell a thousand stories, but these pictures tell of one story. Christ and Him crucified, the only way to victory, the only way to salvation. And as many pastors say, can I get an amen to that? I guess we got more music going up. Let's stand as I pray out for us.